We're going to start this morning, though, by talking about the fact that the United Kingdom has lost its monarch of many, many years, Queen Elizabeth II. It's been called the end of the second Elizabethan era. Her son, Charles, the Prince of Wales up until yesterday, is now King Charles III. With me on the line to talk about this, we have got Grace McCrae, who's with us on the line, a long-time royal watcher. Of course, we've talked to Grace many times before, and James Finnegan as well, with regards to a man who sang for the Queen in 1985. Before we go to that, though, one of the big moments for us and our country in terms of Queen Elizabeth II was her visit here in 2011. After all the shared history, after all the tribulation, after all the death and destruction of the Troubles, including when members of her own family were killed in a bomb in County Sligo, she spoke some seminal, very important words that talked about the new era and the new relationship between her country and ours. Have a listen.
Agus a coisa. Prince Philip and I are delighted to be here and to experience at first hand Ireland's world famous hospitality. Together we have much to celebrate. The ties between our people, the shared values, and the economic, business, and cultural links that make us so much more than just neighbours, that make us firm friends and equal partners. Madam President, speaking here in Dublin Castle, it is impossible to ignore the weight of history, as it was yesterday when you and I laid wreaths at the Garden of Remembrance. Indeed, so much of this visit reminds us of the complexity of our history, its many layers and traditions, but also the importance of forbearance and conciliation, of being able to bow to the past, but not be bound by it. Of course, the relationship has not always been straightforward, nor has the record over the centuries been entirely benign. It is a sad and regrettable reality that through the history our islands have experienced more than their fair share of heartache, turbulence, and loss. These events have touched us all, many of us personally, and are a painful legacy. We can never forget those who have died or been injured and their families. To all those who have suffered as a consequence of our troubled past, I extend my sincere thoughts and deep sympathy. With the benefit of historical hindsight, we can all see things which we would wish had been done differently, or not at all. But it is also true that no one who looked to the future over the past centuries could have imagined the strength of the bonds that are now in place between the governments and people of our two nations, the spirit of partnership that we now enjoy, and the lasting rapport between us. No one here this evening could doubt that heartfelt desire of our two nations.
Yes, indeed, that was the speech, and talked really about all the different things and the times that had gone by and the troubles between Ireland and the United Kingdom. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show on 0667 123 666. You could text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. With me on the line instead is Grace McCrae. Grace, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
What's your reaction?
Very, very sad. I'm feeling very sad. I thought she was a wonderful, wonderful person. A mother, a grandmother, and a friend to everyone. Everyone she met, she was really loved all over the world. And it's very sad, but that's one of those things. And I was so blessed. I was thinking last night while I was sitting here how I saw her coronation and all the three jubilees. It's been, something that I'll always remember, and all the families, that their ups and their downs. You know, she's been a mother, and we all know with our families we can have ups and downs, but she's been through. She's never shown it, really, wherever she's been. I think she's a great woman, and she's the longest reigning monarch. I mean, 70 years, it's a long, long time.
It really is.
And yes, yes, and with all the jubilees and the... It's really marvellous. I was looking at her, though, over the last year. She's got very, very frail. But I was really shocked last night when I heard that the family were coming, and I thought, well, it doesn't sound very good. And the next thing, you know, she was gone.
Yeah.
It was very sad. But I think in my life, when she came to Dublin and she was at the Cenotaph, to see Protestant and a Catholic standing side by side, I'll never forget that moment until I die. It was something that really brought Ireland and England closer together. I'm English. I was born in England.
Yeah.
And I really think that, you know, it really helped Ireland along. Awful, really bit, good bit.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a key moment, a big moment between the two countries.
Oh, it was yeah. Wonderful, and that bit of Irish at the end, I thought was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly was. Grace, stay on the line. We've James Finnegan, President of Tree Toastmasters as well. James, good morning to you. I think we might have lost James on the line there. We'll try and get him back as quick as we can. Grace, just on that though, what was it about her that was it her ability, I suppose, to stand firm, to maybe go in the right direction? And as much as she was allowed, she was a ceremonial head of state in the United Kingdom, but she faced several big challenges in her life, first of which was she took over much earlier than she thought she would have to in post-war Britain in 1952 when her father died early.
Yes, that's right. In 1953 was the coronation. Mm. I think she was only 8 when she knew that she had to become queen. And it was very early, but her coronation was then. And then there was all, she was born in 1926. She's had a long, long serving life. But everyone admired her. Everyone liked her. She had something about her that came over, especially children. I mean, when she was during the war, when she went out, and I think she was in the ATS there, and how she worked so hard. And it was wonderful, really yeah. Wonderful. But a very shock when she knew that she had to take over, you know, with her father's brother marrying
yeah.
the Wallace lady.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
It was a great strain. But I thought Philip, he was very good. I mean, he was made the
Queen's consort?
That's right, yes. Mm. And I mean, when the coronation happened, it was 27 million people alone in England watched it, with plus millions around the world. I'll never forget it. It was absolutely wonderful. People in trees and, you know, and that day I always remember we had a day off high school there. It was fantastic. But it's like everything else, isn't it? Everything comes to an end, and it's all going to face us at some stage. So, but it is a sad, sad day. It really, really is. And I just hope now that, you know, God will bless all her family, and that she'll go and rest in peace, because yeah. She deserves everything that she's yeah. done. She's been an incredible lady.
Yeah, when a listener gets in touch, Queen's speech in 2011, callers over 70 years of age said it was the greatest speech that anyone ever made. Now we have James
That's
Finnegan
right.
back on the line. James, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, you sang several times for the Queen. Tell me how that happened.
I did. Well, it was one of the virtues of living in London, and I used to help out with my old school, and I don't meant the choir. And back in the mid-80s, we were asked to sing at the service at Westminster Abbey.
James, we're going to try and get you back on a better line. We're just having difficulty understanding you at the moment. It's just sounding very kind of tinny. So I'll stay on the line and we'll try and establish a better line if we can. If you have any views for us on the programme, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 320. We're talking to Grace McRae from Rathmore, who's with us on the line, living in Rathmore, of course, from the United Kingdom originally, talking about the Queen and what it meant. A listener gets in touch and says that it is a very sad day for the United Kingdom, and we should respect that. Grace, look, the reaction here, lots of people had a lot of time. Do you think a lot of that sprung from what happened in 2011 and that visit, how well it went, and how she genuinely seemed to be so happy to be here after all the trouble, after all the difficulties for her own family in its relationship with Ireland?
I think it was a wonderful presentation. I really do. And I think it brought people more together as well. It was really a wonderful time. And, I mean, lots of people were, you know, probably don't like her or for one reason or the other, but that's how it is, I suppose, all over.
Yeah, is it part of that problem, the issue of the media and the press coverage? There's this almost symbiotic relationship there between the royals to keep them as famous as they are, as well regarded as they are, but then there's the other side of it. Every little thing gets examined, every scandal gets blown up, and there's been some very difficult times that she had to navigate,
yes,
through all of that.
She has. She's been very strong through it all. I mean, it's all very sad, you know, with Andrew and then Harry. It's an awful scandal. And, of course, papers are not always right and they do imagine things. So, I mean, she's been through an awful lot. And to present herself like she has with all the troubles, I think she's been absolutely fantastic. And, of course, then there was the death of Diana, which knocked her for six. But she came through. She was very strong. And I think with that happening, it did bring her much closer to the royal family and not, you know, and helped, I think, all the world, really.
Yeah, indeed. Grace, you sent her a card congratulating her.
I'm a royalist, and I send a card to every one of the family. I always have. And I always have a reply. And it was only a few weeks ago that I had one from her thanking me for the Jubilee card. And I also sent one for her birthday. And I had one back from her birthday. I have a great pile here of thank you cards. So I really, you know, love getting them back. And I love the Queen. And I love all the royal family, actually. And I don't know what's going to happen now with Charles being king. He'll, of course, be king the third. But I don't know if he's strong enough, if he's settled enough. If I would like to have seen William.
Who knows how
long Charles will reign as king, whether he will hand it down or not. I don't know. But
he's 73 years of age.
And
he's been a long time waiting for it.
Yes, and I can assure you that William's been trained, you know, for this, if anything should happen.
Okay. We're going to try James again. James Finnegan. James, stay with us, Grace. James, can you hear me okay?
I can, Jerry. Thank you very much.
Very good. Tell me about the time you sang for the Queen.
Well, Jerry, I used to help my old school choir out, and we were asked to sing international education at Westminster Abbey. So naturally, that was both exciting and terrifying at the same time. We were sitting in the choir stalls. We could see where she had been crowned, and then she was in the front pew, or in her own little step. It was a magnificent honour and privilege.
Yeah, and what's your reaction to the news that came through yesterday, and where the United Kingdom is now learning to live without Queen Elizabeth as head of state?
Well, it's going to be a difficult time for my birth country. It was both shocking and yet expected. She's been such a symbol of consistency and dedication and duty, which are old-fashioned concepts, but ones most needed. So we now have, at a time of great strife and a time of great change, we have an untested prime minister, and we have an untested head of state.
Unprecedented times, that's for sure. James, what do you think it was that I suppose, in terms of their survival, their position in society there, that managed to keep them together and keep them in the place that they are? Because there has been huge challenges, huge moments of peril. There's a Republican movement in the United Kingdom that have called at various times for an end to the monarchy or their position in the United Kingdom, but it's never really gained a foothold. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because when push comes to shove, those old-fashioned qualities of service and duty and honour, and a link, a historical link all the way back, I think that holds fast. I think that's something that appeals to the British. Now, I'm not saying that system works for everyone. It obviously doesn't.
Sure.
But it works for England, and it works for Britain. Hopefully, in these last few years, when we've seen the United Kingdom leave Europe, and at that time was slightly the Union, as we see in our own islands here.
Sure.
But the challenges are many and varied. But I think that the royal family acts as a kind of a unifying force, a consistent force, something slightly outside politics that enables the continuation of this special
relationship.
Method.
Yeah. Okay, James, listen, thanks very much for that. Grace, final word to you. A listener gets in touch, and look, we've a long and a complicated history with the United Kingdom. Here's a comment in from a listener. Jerry, the Irish flag should stay flying high. That's the message that should be sent to England. Her death has nothing to do with Ireland. And listener goes on to say, you won't say that anyway, just pure nonsense talk today. It's going to be. Grace, what's your response to that? The people who feel that, you know, it's their business, nothing to do with us. Now, I would suggest myself that those people have no understanding of what's going on in Northern Ireland and how important the Queen is to a section of Irish society, and for some, a society that they would one day hope is part of a whole island and a whole nation. But what's your response to that comment today?
I think it's up to everyone. Not everyone, as I said, is for the royal family, and I think it's been like it, and I think it'll always be the same. I can't see much change, but it's very, very sad. It really is that, you know, times are tough, and I don't know, we should be all trying as the best we can and let, you know, what's happened be bygones, and, you know, we have to try to move on. That's just how I feel, and, you know, I'm here for 55 years, and I can honestly say that the people of Ireland and around my Killarney and so, I've never had anything, you know, said or anything else. So, you know, I'm happy to be here. And I respect the Irish people. And I love them.
Yeah. Well, Grace, listen.
And my family have grown up here.
Yeah. But
I think it's a bit sad that, you know, they couldn't do something. But that's how the government and everything feels. I mean,
the flags are flying at half mast, but this person says they shouldn't. This commenter says they shouldn't, I suppose, at the point that there's some who would feel, look, the history, they can't get over it, they can't get past it, and all of that.
I see it, but I don't know. It's very heartbreaking, but, you know, life has to go on, I suppose.
It certainly does. Well, Grace, listen, thanks so much for giving us your observations.
Thank you
your thoughts
so much
this morning.
For having me on.
No problem. Grace McRae there from Rathmore talking about what it means to her, Elizabeth's reign as the Queen and the Head of State of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, Northern Ireland, I should say. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the show. Yeah, keep your comments, views, companions coming into us on the show. A listener gets in touch, Mary Ryan, Tralee, her son, Gerald, who sadly passed away 2 years ago, used to live in Leeds. He was very musical and was asked to take over a youth choir in a very poor part of the city. The choir were presented to the Queen and they sang to her. Gerald says she was the most gracious lady. A little Tralee connection there. Thanks very much for that, Mary. Very angry John Mangan, Tralee, asked why we have the Irish flag at half-mast. This is an emblem of Ireland and not the United Kingdom. Ireland is still a country under English occupation and still a country divided. Do we ever learn? Says John. Well, it's a neighbour, John. They're neighbours. There's a long and storied history there. There's some very bad elements of that history. Agreed. But what do you do when the neighbour loses someone important to them? Do you ignore it or do you acknowledge it? I suppose is the question. Sympathy to the family of Queen Elizabeth. But if we give her, if we give half the airtime the Queen gets to highlighting the plight of homeless Irish in cities like New York and London, our time would be better spent. Monarchy is outdated in this day and age. Tom in Ballinskellig says, Jerry, there will never be another like Queen Elizabeth. She had exceptional manners and an impressive manner about her. She always reminded me that I can do better. Wonderful example, says Tom. That's Tom's view this morning. Jerry, you're a pro-royal. The Kerry people won't forget this. Okay. All right, I don't know what to say to that. Jerry, her visit meant nothing. It was only a stunt. All you had was pro-British and anti-Irish at that event. She won't be missed in Ireland. But listen, she shook hands with Martin McGuinness a year after. And there was plenty of people there who were on the other side in the conflict and the troubles and down through the year and had history and I suppose to use the phrase skin in the game, shall I say, and a lot of them overcame all of that in the interest of improving relations between the two countries and strengthening those links, I suppose you could say. I think regardless of our political leaning, of your political leaning, you have to admire a lady who steadied the ship through many storms, who devoted her life to the service of her country and kept her dignity at all times. I despair at who will fill her shoes. It's a job I fear will never get the respect and love felt for the Queen. And a listener says, the relationships with Ireland and England are at an all-time low. Her passing is the end of any semblance of decency. The true face of England has been exposed recently. Elizabeth was a decent and honourable person. It's died with her. Can we drop it now, please? The fawning is nauseating. Does this person in Rathmore not realise Queen Elizabeth II didn't even know she exists? Jesus wept. The fact is, Elizabeth was tactfully apologising for the misery inflicted on Ireland by her country. We owe them nothing. I'm sorry she's dead. She was a decent woman. Can we change the subject now, please? We are not her subject. So there's a lot of conflicting messages in that text message, but there you go. That's what one person is feeling this morning. If you have a view for us on any of that, get in touch with us on the show on 066 712 3666. Now, Anne-Marie Drummy from Tralee lived in Windsor up until very recently, lived there for over 23 years. I spoke to her shortly before coming on air this morning and I asked her for her reaction, I suppose, being a neighbour in Windsor, how she's feeling, how the people of Windsor are feeling this morning on the passing of Queen Elizabeth II.
Obviously very, very sad. Very shocked to hear the news in the afternoon that she wasn't well, and then obviously watching it later on and to hear the news when it was announced. Very sad. Yes, and funnily enough, as I watched the news in Windsor, even though I don't live there anymore at the moment, I moved there about 2 years ago, felt like I'd lost a neighbour. When I bought my flat back in 1997, one of the things that sold my flat to me was that it said it had winter views of Windsor Castle, which the trees in the distance, when there were no leaves on the trees, you could see Windsor Castle, and I was very lucky to be able to see it most times. And yeah, a neighbour, and very lucky as well, Jerry, to actually see her a number of times out and about on the long walk. My parents lived in Windsor before I did, which is what drew me to Windsor, and they would go for walks with our dog Carrig along the long walk, and the Queen would indeed drive herself out of the castle to go and visit her then mother, the Queen Mum, and would sometimes have Philip with her, might have one of her children with her. And we would all stand reverentially at the side of the long walk and wave, and she would wave back. And yeah, so a great loss. It's like she's always been there, and now suddenly she isn't.
Yeah, incredible longevity And Marie, she's been there seemingly forever. 1952, since she was coronated. 1953, she was coronated, took over as a queen in 1952. But it's just spanned 8 decades, incredible longevity and incredible amount of service to the people of Britain.
It is, and also, Gerry, you know, an incredible... I was thinking about her yesterday, and, you know, our third Prime Minister here in the UK, that's a woman, and yes, you know, she's been there as a very quiet and solid role model for women all of these years. You know, she's been a trusted leader of, you know, of the country that I now live in and have, you know, grown to love and be a part of, and... you know, all of the female leaders that have been and gone and been, you know, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, for the Queen, she's just always been there and has always been that role model, not just for women, but for leaders, you know, how to do it quietly and positively and, you know, just a great sense of strength and, you know, basically she's shown a lot of leaders how to do it.
She's never given an interview. She never gave an interview, but still managed, I suppose, to communicate. Obviously, through her messages at various times of the year, but through her maybe example with the people of Great Britain and United Kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think there was. I mean, obviously, we're now going to be glued to the television for the coming days and weeks and months, and it's footage, I think, that we've all seen before. And as you said, yeah, I don't think she has ever given an interview. There was a clip that was played yesterday where it sounded like she was saying something as if she had given an interview to somebody. It may have been just a question she was asked. But, yeah, you know, she always did it silently in the background. And, yes, like, we know so much about her, and yes, maybe we don't know an awful lot about her, but she did it the right way. I don't know how to explain it. She was very clever.
I suppose she met a lot of people on the ground, really, you know, in ordinary situations, through her, you know, opening of different events, going to different community events, getting involved in charities and trusts, and then all the travel she did right throughout the world for her whole career.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I googled yesterday, they were saying, is there anybody that she hasn't met? You know, she's met everybody, and I actually googled only because my mom is a keen fan of Elvis, as was, and my mother-in-law went to the movie Elvis the other day, and she never met Elvis, or Elvis never met her, I should say, which you're thinking of all the famous people in the world, that was one famous person that you never met. But yes, obviously all of the world's leaders, like, I mean, they called out all the prime ministers, you know, when you think how long she's been here. Like, her first Prime Minister was Winston Churchill. I mean, for most of us, we think of Winston Churchill, you know, even at my age, we think of Winston Churchill as being, you know, decades ago, but she was, you know, she was, he was her first Prime Minister, and now, you know, we look at her last Prime Minister. You know, all of the Prime Ministers, both American and even the Canadian Prime Minister was on yesterday, and all of the different, you know, the decades that she's been through, it's just very hard to picture her being here anymore, you know, after all she's been through.
Yeah, and speaking of all she's been through, Anne-Marie, she led the monarchy for so long, but through huge change and some very turbulent times in which, at various different stages, the monarchy wasn't that popular, but managed to steer the right course, I suppose, in the end, and probably leaves it in a relatively strong place in the society of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my parents moved to the UK at the time when what is now Legoland was Windsor Safari Park, which, you know, it's hard to imagine there was a safari park in Windsor, but there was. And not long after that was obviously the Great Fire in the castle. I mean, the beautiful castle, which was her home for many years and her favourite castle. And at that same year, she called it her Annus Horribilis. Charles and Diana divorced, and then obviously Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson, and, you know, lots of other things happened that year as well. And, you know, the year that they thought that the monarchy would never turn itself back around again. But I remember standing in on the Mall, which is the long walk that leads up to, we say, Buckingham Palace, when they were trying to apply for the 2012 Olympics, and obviously subsequently got. And I was here for the 2012 Olympics, which was her golden, I think it was her golden jubilee, her 50th anniversary, not long after William and Kate got married.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere here was just, that year was just an incredible year. There was such a celebration of the monarchy. And I also have to say as well, even when Harry and Meghan got married, I was, you know, front and centre on the long walk. The atmosphere in Windsor when Harry and Meghan got married at the time was incredible. It was such a happy feeling. You know, you couldn't have explained it. To live in Windsor at that time when Harry and Meghan got married was incredible. And obviously it's a shame that things have turned sour now, but you know, you never know. The monarchy has a strange way of turning around again, and sometimes it can be a loss.
Yeah.
Of hearsay, we don't always know. They're still a family, you know, at the end of the day they're a family with their own problems and trials and tribulations, and it's just unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, the other element of it is that they are a family, you know, they're a family that live in the limelight, they live in, you know, for some, it's a bit of a soap opera, and is that, do you think, why they have survived the test of time, why people are so fascinated by them all over the world, not just in the United Kingdom, that they're always in the media for good and for bad reasons to keep them in the limelight, but keep them under pressure as well, and that,
yeah,
we saw that through what's happened to Harry and Meghan.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, we're all fascinated by the photographs. I mean, we have to admit, we all love looking at the photographs. We love hearing the scandals. You know, it's not that we're expecting scandals, but you're looking for that. You know, you want to see a photograph of somebody, you know, what they're wearing at something and what they're doing and where they're bringing their, you know, even the other day, bringing their children to school, you know, all those kind of photographs. You know, if we had to live our life in a goldfish bowl like that, I don't think any of us would be able to cope with it as they do. They've come to expect it. It's not necessarily what, you know, they should have to put up with, but it's just unfortunately the life that they live in. But I think if for those are able, some of them are able to play the game a little bit better than others, and I don't know, we just have to wait and see what the next
chapter will bring.
Even brings.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chapter, you know, with our new king.
And on that yet, it's King Charles III finally, Emery.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's 10 days of mourning, I think, perhaps maybe even more than a coronation, perhaps maybe in a month's time or even longer. I'm not sure how it'll work, but that's...
I think it's even longer, I had looked it up yesterday, a little bit of interest myself, really, Gerry. And I hope to go to Windsor in the next few days just to almost kind of, I feel I need to pay my respects to my neighbour and just the Queen as she is. She was, you know, I live here, I'm still an Irish passport holder, but I'm, you know, very reverential of just a very lovely lady who was a very lovely leader. And I just feel, I don't know, I think, you know, King Charles, I think, you know, I mean, if he's, you know, he's been a king in waiting for a very long time. I think he's a very kind man. I think, you know, a lot of problems that he's had in the years are, you know, sometimes I think, you know, again, it's that the press was just making a big hoo-ha about it. But I think he should be given a chance to now prove himself. If he manages to live as long as his mum, he could be a king for the next 20 years. 20 years is a very long time.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, Emery, look, thanks for giving us your reflections this morning, and thanks for talking to us on Radio Kerry.
No problem. Thanks, Gerry.
Emery Drummy there with me on the line. If you have a view on what she had to say, get in touch. More on the way on Kerry Today.